pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In our study of the tribulation, the seventh dispensation, we've been looking at the fourth beast of Daniel, and of course the fourth beast of Daniel is the Antichrist. And this person's going to be, according to Daniel, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. This is a person who's going to be the most dangerous person who has ever lived upon this earth. We think of all of the people who've lived like Hitler and Mussolini. And all of these people who have lived before, they were terrible. They were murderers. They killed people by the hundreds of thousands. And this is something that was terrible. But this person, the beast, during the tribulation period, will be worse than any other person who's ever lived upon the face of this earth. And we've seen also that this person, the beast, the Antichrist, will be an intellectual genius. He's also going to be an oratorical genius and a political genius. He's able to sell himself as people look up to him. They will actually look to him, I believe, as God. And they will place him on a pedestal higher than God. He will also be a commercial genius. He's able to sell himself. And we also see that he will be a military genius. He'll be able to go forth and conquer whatever he needs to conquer. He's going to be able to do that. And we also see that he will be a religious genius. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." These people will follow the beast, people who are not saved, who have never trusted Christ as Savior. And once again, I've said this, that there will be people saved in the tribulation period. And it's not me saying, it's the Word of God that tells us that there will be a multitude of people who have been saved during the tribulation period. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, speaking once again of this religious genius, the Antichrist, it says in that verse in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, "Who opposeth and exalteth himself," and this is the beast, "above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." He is crowning himself as God. And I made mention earlier now that people will actually look up to him and worship him because they look to him as God. They worship him. Well, notice something else now. There's someone coming on the scene, and actually two people will come on the scene who will preach the Word of God and let people know how to go to heaven. These, of course, are two witnesses. Revelation 11 and verse 4 says, "These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." And then, of course, Revelation chapter 11, verse 4 is actually quoting from Zechariah chapter 4, talking about the candlesticks here. Notice this, Zechariah 4, 12 through 14. "And I answered again and said unto him, What be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." Well, you keep studying this and you find out that these are the two witnesses who are going to stand and proclaim the Word of God during the tribulation period, at least for the first 3.5 years. And according to the scriptures, there must be two witnesses to an act in order for the sentence of the law to be carried out. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 15. Once again, we wonder why there are two. Well, this answers the question. Deuteronomy 19 and verse 15. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. At the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Now in John chapter 8 and verse 17, Jesus said this, "It is also written in your law," Jesus said, "that the testimony of two men is true." So this is the reason I believe that there will be two witnesses, that no one can deny that they are telling the truth according to Jewish law, Jewish customs. Now I'm going to mention two people that I believe are going to be those two witnesses, and I'll tell you why as we look at them. Notice, sent from God. Well, who was sent from God? I see Elijah. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Well, the great and dreadful day of the Lord takes place at the end of the tribulation. The second coming of the Lord is judgment, and that is the day of the Lord. The great and dreadful day of the Lord, I believe, is Christ's return to earth to exact his judgment upon those who oppose him. So, to me, the two witnesses come in the first half of the tribulation. In other words, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. I believe Elijah will be one of the two witnesses. And I believe the other witness sent from God is going to be Enoch. The other witness, I believe, once again, he was a prophet who was like Elijah. He was taken into heaven without dying in the very midst of his prophetic ministry. Well, in Jude 14 and 15, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These will actually be, now I've seen street preachers, and maybe you've seen people standing in the street and preaching. Well, I've seen that, and these two men, Enoch and Elijah, they're actually going to be street preachers. They're going to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and they're warning people of the judgment to come, the day of the Lord. As we're told in Jude, Enoch prophesied of the coming of the Lord with his saints. Well, I believe this will be part of the message that he preaches during his time on earth as one of the witnesses in the tribulation. And of course, he preaches of the second coming of the Lord, who comes with his saints at the beginning of the millennium. Well, I believe the two witnesses will come on the scene during the first half of the tribulation. The last 3.5 year reign or the great tribulation of the beast, and he's going to reign for 7 years, but the last part of his reign, the last 3.5 years, does not begin until after the witnesses are slain. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "And when they shall have finished their testimony," in other words, when they've done everything they can do to help people understand of the wrath of God to come, to escape that, to receive Christ as Savior, after they've done all this, after their testimony, it says, "The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them." Well, this is the first explicit reference in Revelation to the beast, though John no doubt recognized him as the fourth beast of Daniel's prophecy, and we saw that in Daniel 7, verse 7. Notice that as we study this, that he will already have become sufficiently powerful as a world leader. In other words, in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 speaks of the beast continuing 42 months. This is 3.5 years. This would be after the death of the two witnesses. Now, Revelation chapter 13 and verse 5 says this, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. 3.5 years after the two witnesses leave." Well, this means that the 1260 days of their prophecy, Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 and 6, this corresponds to the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period, the time of the seal and the trumpet judgments. Well, let me read Revelation chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. It says there, "And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will." Now, this last part of the verse that I read in verse 6 of Revelation 11, some people see in that verse that they believe that Moses is the one who's going to come back. And I believe that these people will say that Enoch is one of them, but they do not believe that Elijah is going to be one. But let me put this to you, and let me say what I believe. I do not believe it will be Moses. The Bible teaches us that Moses died. He was buried. And I do not believe God would bring him back to die again, just as Jesus is not going to come back and die again. Moses died once. I do not believe he's going to die again. And when we think of this, these two people who come back as witnesses, they are going to die. Their physical bodies will die. And the Bible says that their bodies lie in the streets 3 days, 3 nights, and so forth. And as they are there, people see their bodies lying in the street. And then they will see these two bodies rise up. I believe that once again, just as our Lord and Savior rose from the grave, rose from the dead, these two will be taken up into glory, just as the Lord left this earth the first time and went back to heaven. And I believe these two men, Enoch and Elijah, will be those two men who witness during the first half of the tribulation period. People are going to be without excuse who do not receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, especially in these first 3.5 years of the tribulation. And let me say that people today who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they too are without excuse. There is no reason for anyone not to be saved and be on their way to heaven. There's no reason, because Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. Before a person can get saved, they must realize they're lost. And the Ten Commandments was given to show us of our sinful ways. If you've ever told a lie, you're lost. You've broken the law. Now that is, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are on your way to hell. If you've ever done anything against what God has placed in His law, then you are a lost person. You are a sinner, and you need to receive Jesus Christ as Savior. You need to admit that you're a sinner. That's the first thing you need to do. And then you need to say, "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I admit I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I believe you died on the cross for me. You shed your blood on the cross of Calvary. I believe your word, Lord, where it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm that whosoever, Lord. I'm the one who needs you. And I ask you to come into my heart right now and save me."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.